Please consider supporting the Wednesday blog by going to patreon.com/sthosdkane. Thanks. Welcome back to the Wednesday blog with me, Sean Kane. It's Wednesday, 21 June, 2023. This week, how reading Joyce prepared me for my doctorate. Last Friday was the annual commemoration of Bloomsday. 16 June 1904 was the date when all of the action in James Joyce's 1922 episodic novel Ulysses takes place. Bloomsday is named for the main character, the sometimes hapless Leopold Bloom, who fits perfectly into the wider scope of Irish main characters who may want things to go one way but often find their life taking ever weirder and sometimes darker turns. Reminds me of Von Beelbocht. I'll fully admit I've never read Ulysses through the entire way before. I've seen the stage adaptation that they used to put on at the Irish Center of Kansas City a handful of times, and have participated here and there in the day-long reading of Ulysses at the same cultural center. But to date, I've never actually sat down and tried to read this work from cover to cover. For one thing, Ulysses evades expectations of literary formalities and standards. For another, a fair bit of the text really only makes sense when read aloud. And finally, because of several scenes it was banned here in the United States for a while, a nod to the Puritan roots of American culture. So, on Friday, I went over to Rainy Day Books, the finest local bookstore I've stepped foot in, located just across the border in Fairway, Kansas, to buy a copy of Ulysses for myself. My goal on Friday was to record an Instagram reel of me reading my favorite passage from the novel, a scene with an ever-increasingly ridiculous list of foreign dignitaries attending the Ascot Gold Cup, which took place on the same day as the story at large. Yet the eccentricity of Ulysses befuddled me enough that I ended up choosing a different passage from Part 2's Episode 12, Cyclops, in which an ancient hero wearing a leather belt adorned with the portraits of a series of Irish heroes is described. Again, this series of Irish heroes steadily becomes more ridiculous as it goes on. As a matter of fact, I'll read this passage for you now.
The figure seated on a large boulder at the foot of a round tower was that of a broad-shouldered, deep-chested, strong-limbed, frank-eyed, red-haired, freely fickled, shaggy-bearded, wide-mouthed, large-nosed, long-headed, deep-voiced, bare-kneed, brawny-handed, hairy-legged, ruddy-faced, sinew-yarned hero. From shoulder to shoulder he measured several ells, and his rock-like mountainous knees were covered, as was likewise the rest of his body wherever visible, with a strong growth of tawny, prickly hair in a hue and toughness similar to the mountain grouse, Ulix europaeus. The wide-winged nostrils, from which bristles the same tawny hue projected, were of such capriciousness that within their cavernous obscurity in the field lark might easily have lodged her nest. The eyes in which a tear and a smile strove ever for the mastery were of the dimensions of a good-sized cauliflower. A powerful current of warm breath issued at regular intervals from the profound cavity of his mouth, while in rhythmic resonance the loud, strong hail reverberations of his formidable heart thundered rumblingly, causing the ground, the summits of the lofty tower, and the still loftier walls of the cave to vibrate and tremble. He wore a long, unsleeved garment of recently flayed oxhide, reaching to the knees in a loose kilt, and this was bound about his middle by a girdle of plaited straw and rushes. Beneath this he wore trews of deerskin, roughly stitched with gut. His nether extremities were encased in high balbriggan buckskins, dyed in lichen purple, the feet being shod with brogues of salted cowhide, laced with the windpipe of the same beast. From his girdle hung a row of sea stones, which dangled at every movement of his portentous frame, and on these were many graven with rude yet striking art the tribal images of many Irish heroes and heroines of antiquity. Cuchulainn, Conn of the Hundred Battles, Niall of the Nine Hostages, Brian of Kinkora, the Andre Malachi, the Ardri Malachi, rather, Art McMurra, Shane O'Neill, Father John Murphy, Owen Rowe, Patrick Sarsfield, Red Hugh O'Donnell, Red Jim McDermott, Sargarth Eowyn O'Groney, Michael Dwyer, Francie Higgins, Henry Joy McCracken, Goliath, Horace Wheatley, Thomas Kneff, Peg Woffington, The Village Blacksmith, Captain Moonlight, Captain Boycott, Dante Alighieri, Christopher Columbus, St. Fursa, St. Brendan, Marshall McMahon, Charlemagne, Theobald Wolfe Tone, the Mother of the Maccabees, the Last of the Mohicans, the Rose of Castile, the Man for Galway, the Man that Broke the Bank at Monte Carlo, the Man in the Gap, the Woman Who Didn't, Benjamin Franklin, Napoleon Bonaparte, John L. Sullivan, Cleopatra, Savarin Delish, Julius Caesar, Paracelsus, Sir Thomas Lipton, William Tell, Michelangelo, Hayes, Muhammad, the Bride of Lammermoor, Peter the Hermit, Peter the Packer, Dark Rosaline, Patrick W. Shakespeare, Brian Confucius, Murtagh Gutenberg, Patricio Velasquez, Captain Nemo, Tristan and Isolde, the First Prince of Wales, Thomas Cook and Son, the Bold Soldier Boy, Aran na Pog, Dick Turpin, Ludwig Beethoven, the Colleen Bawn, Wadler Healy, Angus the Coldee, Dolly Mount, Sydney Parade, Ben Houth, Valentine Greatchkiss, Great Treks, Adam and Eve, Arthur Wellesley, Boss Croker, Herodotus, Jack the Giant Killer, Gautama Buddha, Lady Godiva, the Lady of Killarney, Balor of the Evil Eye, the Queen of Sheba, Aki Nagel, Joe Nagel, Alessandro Volta, Jeremiah O'Donovan Rosa, Don Philip O'Sullivan, Bear, a couch spear of accumulated granite rested by him, while at his feet reposed a savage animal of the canine tribe, whose stertorous gasps announced that he was sunk in uneasy slumber, a supposition confirmed by hoarse growls and spasmodic movements, which his master repressed from time to time by tranquilizing blows of a mighty cudgel rudely fashioned out of Paleolithic stone.
Joyce's Ulysses makes far more sense when read aloud than if read silently, a style that was pioneered in the 5th century CE by none other than St. Augustine of Hippo, no less. It's a far older style of literature that way, something which gives it an air of antiquity that I, for one, appreciate a great deal. This is also something that I find regular among my primary sources for my dissertation, books which were written for a very different audience who lived 450 years ago in France. In my case, I often find reading those aloud gives me the greatest clarity of what they were actually trying to say. My translation of André Thévet's 1557 book, The Singularities of France Antarctique, is one such book that is at best read in full voice. And I have a feeling, when I go through and edit my translation, that I'll have to soften some of the eccentricities of my initial interpretation of Thévet's text. Or at least, that's what I've been finding as I incorporate it into my dissertation. I find Joyce's writing daunting, a proper challenge, yet still something that is immensely relatable to my own way of thinking about writing. I love his fluid use of adjectives to describe his characters. They bring even the most marginal of figures to life in a way that echoes down the last century to the present moment. Now, 119 years after Leopold Bloom's eventful day in Dublin, and 101 years after Joyce's first edition was published in one volume under the title of Ulysses, there's a connection to that story which continues to live on for me. The Wednesday blog is written, read, and produced by me, Sean Kane, and I also came up with the theme music. You can learn more about my work by going to linktree.com/sthosdkane. That's linktr.ee/sthosdkane. There you'll learn more about my website and my blog. Thanks! Thanks as always to my regular listeners, including monthly supporters Elizabeth Duke, John Lundy, and Alex Brisson. You can learn more about how to support my podcast by going to patreon.com/sthosdkane. I appreciate all the help they provide. Thanks for listening this week. This podcast is distributed by Spotify. Learn more at podcasters.spotify.com.